Yeah, I don't know whether to clap or to pray or to shout or to cry. Be frank with you, in the 8 o'clock service, I was crying. Because that's what we want. I had a guy come up to me after the 8 o'clock service, and he said, I was crying like you were. He's because we're singing, He is for you, He is for you, He is for you. And I kept thinking how hard my head was, all right? And how it took me so long for me to figure out that God is for me. And all I had to do was look at the cross and realize that He's for me. And they're going to have a baby, all right? And He's like, and all I could think about was how badly I want my child to not go as long as I did. Like, that's what the dad wanted. The dad was like, Lord, I don't want my kid to go as long as I did, understanding that You are for me and not against me. And that You're so for me that You sent Your Son. Like, that's so good, right? Like, that's so good. Last week, we talked about gospel marriage. And we talked about in Genesis chapter 1, 26 to 28. You guys remember it? It says that God blessed them, and He said to them, be what? Be fruitful and what? Multiply, right? Increase in number. Now, what are we multiplying? Is this just for people? Is God saying, all right, if you're a single adult, you have to get married, and you have to get married, and you have to have kids, right? Is that the 1002 alarm? Whew, we're going to have some fun today. All right, cool. Is that what He's saying? No, He's not. He's saying, you, I have formed you, and I made you, and I'm going to bless you, because I'm a blessing kind of God. That's who I am. And then you and your life are to be fruitful. For some of you, that means you're going to get married, and you're going to have children. For some of you, it means you're going to get married, you're going to struggle your whole life, you're never going to have any kids, and that's my plan for you, but you're still going to be fruitful. And what does multiplication mean? Multiplication means making disciples who make disciples who make disciples. We're going to read about it in Deuteronomy chapter 6. So stand up today, we're talking about gospel family. And you may be here today and be like, hey, I don't have any kids. I don't care. This is for you. You may be here and be like, hey, I'm a grandparent. Fine, this is for you, all right? You may be here and say, I'm 9 years old. This is for you, all right? Deuteronomy chapter 6, it's known as the Shema. We don't have time to explain that, all right? But just trust me, all right? And this just literally means this is for every generation. We just sang about it. For your children and your children's children, amen? All right, cool. What does the Bible say about the family? Deuteronomy chapter 6 is the best place to start, all right? After Genesis 1, 26 through 28. It says this, now this is the commandment. All right, this is what God desires, this is what God commands. The statutes and the rules, in case you didn't know what a commandment was, all right? That the Lord your God, there is the word again, commanded me to teach you that you may do them in the land to which you're going over to possess it. So this is Moses talking to the people of Israel so they don't forget God as they go experience the blessings that He has for them. All right, we know the end of the story, and the middle of it's not so great, all right, but the ending's pretty cool, right? Verse 2, that you may fear the Lord your God. You and your son and your son's son. Your translation of God's word may say you and your children and your children's children. How do you fear the Lord? By keeping all His statutes and His commandments, which I commanded you all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Verse 3, hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may what? There's this word, come on. Multiply greatly. As the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, we may say that and be like, hey, I've seen pictures from that side of the world. There ain't no milk fountains, and there's no honey drippings, all right? So is the Bible accurate? Look, it's not saying physical milk sprouting and physical honey sprouting. Milk meant the day-to-day, like, needs of life, okay? A land flowing with the day-to-day needs, and because God's good, honey, which represents the indulgences of life. The good indulgences, milk and honey. He's that good, all right? Here, it says again, verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your what? Come on, heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Now, Jesus later on added mind, all right? And there's a reason that He did, because He was talking to a Greek culture at that time, and they separated the difference between strength and mind. Hebrews, it all meant the same thing. Got me? All right, here we go. Verse 6, and these words that I command you today shall be on your what? Heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. That means over and over and over again because we all have thick heads. I have 5 thick-headed children. You know why? Because they have a thick-headed mama and a thick-headed daddy, all right? And we had thick-headed moms and dads too. And so do you. And if you're offended by that, what is wrong with you? All right? You have a thick head. All right, yeah. All right? So you shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them in the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, milk and honey, right? To Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, to give you, look at this, with great and good cities, check this out, that you didn't build. And houses full of good things, look at this, that you didn't fill. And cisterns that you did not dig. And vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant. And when you eat and are full, here's the warning in verse 12, then take care lest you forget the Lord. Why'd he say that? Because he knows when we're fat and happy, we have a tendency to think, I did this. Right? Who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Verse 13, he says it a second time. It is the Lord your God you shall what? Come on. Fear. Him you shall serve, and by his name you shall swear. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are around you. For the Lord your God is in your midst, is a jealous God. Lest the anger of the Lord your God be kindled against you, and he destroy you from off the face of the earth. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. As you tested him at Massah, you shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes which he has commanded you, and you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may go well with you, and that you may go in and take possession of the good land that the Lord swore to give your fathers by thrusting out all your enemies from before you, as the Lord has promised. And then I love verse 20. When your sons ask you in time to come, what's the meaning of the testimonies and the statutes and the rules that the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and grievous, against Egypt and against Pharaoh and all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from there that he might bring us in and give us the land that he swore to give our fathers, meaning he's going to take care of our needs and he's going to take care of our wants. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes. He says it a third time, to fear the Lord our God. What does it mean to fear the Lord our God? Exactly what 3 portas did today. They demonstrated the fear of the Lord. For our good always, that he might preserve us alive as we are this day. And it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to do all this commandment before the Lord our God as he has commanded us. God bless the reading and the hearing of your word. God, we had a 10:02 alarm go off, so Lord, we do want to take this word that we've heard and plant churches with the power of the word and the power of the Spirit. God, we want to send missionaries with the word and with the power of the Spirit. Father, because the harvest is plentiful and the labors are few. So God, now as we spend just the next few moments together, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, God. You are my rock and my redeemer. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat if you would. And we're just going to speak to just 3 categories, and then we're done. First category is this, because again, I shared, hey, regardless of where you are, this word is for you from Deuteronomy 6. So every generation, all right, what does the Bible have to say about the family? Every generation, we're going to talk to you, we're going to talk to parents, we're going to talk to kids, and we're going to come back and talk to everybody again. But every generation, here's what God wants, for you to fear the Lord and keep his word all the days of your life. That means that there is no period between 16 and 38 that you sow your wild oats. You're not entitled to getting crazy in college. You're not entitled to it. And if you want to get upset because of the things that you do that end up causing lifelong consequences and think, what has God done to me? You have a thick head. I love you, but you have a thick head. All right, because, and I do too, all right, hear me. I have a thick head too, because you want to go, well, hey, I just want to do what I want to do, but then I'll come back to the Lord. And when I have a kid, I'll get right with Jesus. Are you kidding me? Really? Like, apply that to any other facet of life and call that smart. It's not smart, right? And I'm not here to make fun. I'm not here to judge or condemn. I'm here as a person of experience going, ouch, here's where it's better. Now, does God have a perfect plan? Yes, he does. Does God have a redemptive plan? Yes, he does. Can God take your mess and make something beautiful of it? Hello, look at the cross, right? Right? But hear me, each generation, fear the Lord and keep his word all the days of your life. Here's the thing, though. You know this. The law has been written on your heart. You know this. It's in you. You understand it. When I say it, you get it. You're like, I know. But that's why I avoid him for so long, because I like to do my own thing. Fear the Lord, keep his word all the days of your life. Here's how you do that. He tells you in verse 2, in verse 13, in verse 14, verse 24, in verse 3 in particular, to hear, read, study, memorize, meditate, proclaim, and do the word of God by making disciples. You see, what does the gospel have to do with the family? Everything. Everything. The gospel has everything to do with the family. What does the gospel have to do with you being a single adult? Everything. What does the gospel have to do with you being married and just you and your wife for 3 to 5 to 10 months to 20 years? Everything. What does it have to do with you being a parent of 3, 4, 20 children? God bless you if you do, all right? But do the word of God by making disciples. He says, hear therefore, O Israel, be careful to do them, that it may go well with you and that you may multiply greatly. Who's he talking to? Everybody. So how do we do that? You say, okay, all right, well, it's pretty practical. We read the word, we hear the word, we study the word, memorize the word, meditate on the word, we proclaim the word, meaning we tell other people about the word, and then we do the word. And we do that by, you earn the right to do that by loving God and loving people. Loving God and loving people. Not half-heartedly, but he says with all your heart. Look again at verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. All three of those words involve everything that you are. Your heart involves your desires, your wants, your passions. Your soul involves your entire body, like physically, emotionally, spiritually. And your might means your strength and your mind. So I mean everything that you are, your school, your recreation, your sport, whatever it is that you apply yourself to, you're to love God and love people with all that you are. So that's for everybody. So let's talk to the parents for a moment. And this text, parents, and I'll be honest with you, man, I've had some check-in this week in my own spirit as a parent. Parent, what's our role according to this text? To teach our children to do two things, to know and love God, and then to surrender to his authority. All right, it's a way to say it, God consciousness and God submission, meaning my children, Eli, Isaac, Sam, Esther, and Anna, my hope for them, my prayer for them is that my interaction with them would teach them to know that there is a God and that we should love him and that we should submit to him. When does my task end? Never. Like I hope after I breathe my last, that message is still being proclaimed to them over and over and over again. You say, that's because you're a preacher. No. No. I've been doing this since before I was a preacher, all right? And even long after I will be. That's my prayer. It's because I'm a follower of Jesus, all right? And it's because that's how God made me. That's how he wired me. And it's how he wired you. Two things we need to keep in mind as we do this task, parents. One, God has not chosen you to be a parent because you are able. Because as soon as I say that, I know, as soon as I say that, you're thinking of all the things that could potentially have gone wrong or why you feel like you're disqualified to not do that. And I want you to know, I've got the same reasons why I feel that way. And here's the good news. That's why Jesus came and he died on the cross and rose from the dead. All right? Two things. This is the end of the notes, and I want us to see this. All right? If you're looking on the online notes, we're going to go to the very end. Two things we got to remember for parents. One, God has not chosen you to be a parent because you are able. God chose you to be a parent because he is able. All right, I remember holding Eli for the first time, and he didn't eat for the first 3 days of his life. All right, he didn't eat at all. He's what's called a lazy eater, all right? Still is. You ever eat with a boy, it takes an hour, all right? An hour. We had dinner on, we went to this thing for school on Thursday night. I won't embarrass them. I don't care. All right, so we went to this school thing on Thursday night. It was like a bunch of people. They had this barn. What's it called, honey? Where you at? Square dancing. Thank you. Yeah, square dancing. Yeah. I was like, it wasn't line dancing. I'm like, that's creepy. Anyway, so, I'm sorry. I love you. Anyway, so, we went and watched them, and we ate first. And, man, a boy got his food last. God bless him. I hate he got his food last. We had to take it in the car as we're driving there. Anyway, so, it was bad. Anyway, so, but he didn't eat for the first 3 days of his life. And I thought, man, I am not able to feed this child. I can't make him eat. I remember praying, going, God, you got to do something or he's going to die. And so we found this thing at Target. We came home and tried it, and it worked. And the first time he, like, gulped and ate, my wife were, like, weeping. She and I are weeping. Oh, thank you, God, he ate, you know. And it was just a reminder with my first kid, you have no control over this. I'm sovereign, and I've got control over everything. And here's the great news. I've been fighting that ever since. I've been thinking I have some sort of control over his life, and I don't. I don't have control of his life. God has control over his life. We're going to keep talking. Second thing not to forget is don't forget that you are parenting sinners who bear the image of God. So I don't need to be shocked when they disobey. I don't need to be shocked when they talk back. I don't need to be shocked when they do something stupid. Why? They're sinners. They're sinners. If you say, well, they've been baptized and saved. I know, but they're still sinners saved by the grace of God. You know how I know that? Because I'm a sinner made in the image of God. And so am I giving them license to do stupid things? No. But when they do, my job as a parent, and we're going to get there in just a second, all right? So it's to be an ambassador, all right? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 19, all right? Verse 18. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself, check this out, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, Christ, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. And here's how he does it. He doesn't count their trespasses against them. Are you crazy? That's awesome, right? And then he entrusts to us the message of reconciliation. Verse 20 then, therefore, look at this. Until this week, I have not applied this understanding to my parenting. And I repented before the Lord. And from this point forward, this is what I'm doing, all right? Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. I read in Paul Tripp's book this week, this kicked my butt, that I am an ambassador to my children, not an owner. And for some of you, that may be like, oh, I knew that already. I had not applied that to my understanding of being a parent. I just hadn't. I thought I owned them until they were 18, and then they were on their own, right? We say that all the time. But no. I'm called to be an ambassador forever for them. We are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. And then the next verse we all love, he made him who knew no sin to be sin so that we might become the what? The righteousness of God. These children are not our possessions. We don't own them. God does. They belong to him. We are his ambassadors to them through 18, 25, 45, 85, if we make it that long. We are his ambassadors to our children. When does a responsibility off us to show them God consciousness and to show them to submit to Christ? Never. 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 We're parents always. So you say, well, break this down for me. Help me understand. So there's kind of four categories. Paul Tripp gives four categories of kind of how we relate to our kids. One is identity. All right, this whole identity thing of who we are, who they are. An owner parent, or if you're an owner parent, you get your identity and your meaning and your purpose and inner sense and well-being from your children. But an ambassador parent, that's why you get mad when they do something that checks that or might embarrass your identity or embarrass their identity. But ambassador parents who approach parenting as representatives come to it with this deep sense of identity of who they are in Christ, and they're motivated by that in meaning and purpose. So that means I don't have to get my identity from my children because they've gotten it from the one whom they represent, the Lord Jesus Christ, all right? That's identity. Work, what you do. Owner parents think that their job is to turn their children into something, to become something. They have this vision for what they want their kids to be, and they think that their work as parents is to use their authority, to leverage their time, money, and energy to kind of shape their children into what they've conceived them to be. But an ambassador parent understands that they are never anything more than representatives of someone greater, wiser, and more powerful or more gracious than they are, and they know that their daily task is to love their children and teach them the Word of God, to pray for them, and to model being a Christ follower. And they understand, and I understand, I have no power whatsoever to change the heart of my child. And that without God's wisdom, I wouldn't even know what is best for my sons and daughters. Success, the area of success, what you and I define, and by the way, if you didn't know, we live in an area that highly values success. We do, all right? And so what people define as making it. An owner parent tends to be working toward a specific catalog of indicators in the life of their children that would tell them they have been successful as parents. They graduated. Shoo, I'm a success, right? They went to college. Shoo, I'm a success. They got a job. Shoo, I'm a success. They're no longer my payroll. Praise Jesus, right? Shoo, right? But an ambassador parent has faced the scary truth, and this is hard, that they have no power at all to produce anything in their children without the word and the grace and the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I know as I say that, there's a check. There's this but. I had the same one this week. It was fun. Anyway, so reputation, what others think about you. All right, owner parents unwittingly turn their children into their trophies. They want people to parade their children in public to the applause of the people around them. Just look at social media, right? But ambassador parents have come to understand that parenting sinners will expose them to public misunderstanding and embarrassment somehow, some way. And they've come to accept the humble messiness of the job that God has called them to do. Now, if you disagree with me and think, no, I own them, all right? You're wrong, pastor. You're looking at this too spiritual, pastor, all right? I can do this parenting thing just fine. Just remember this, the very first parents were the first sinners who raised the first children, who one of them killed the other. They actually walked physically with God. Their sin was taking things into their own hands. What on earth makes you think that you and I can do it any better? Paul understood that he was an ambassador and that it would take time and a process to demonstrate truth and grace to their children. 1 Timothy 1:16 says this, "But I received mercy for this reason." Paul said this, "I received mercy for this very reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life." It's like a summary of Deuteronomy 6. And I want you to know, kids, man, I love you, my children in particular, and you have a fine example of the patience of God in your dad's life. Because I have messed up so many times. And I've gone to them and said, man, dad is sorry. He got his priorities right. Dad got angry because he was more frustrated with his schedule than he was loving and honoring the Lord and being patient with you. And I'm sorry. You know how many times I've had that conversation with my kids? Ask them. I've had it multiple times even this week. So what do? We teach truth and grace diligently. Parenting is a process. It's not a one and done deal. It's a process. And I know, you think, man, I just had this conversation on Tuesday, and you're doing this again on Thursday? And I know, have you ever been yelling at your kids, and while you're yelling at your kid, maybe you're perfect, and that's fine. But have you ever been, like, red-faced and kind of angry? You might be, like, shouting hard, but you're, like, speaking impassionately. Do you think your child is going, oh, I am just loving and experiencing the grace of God right now. I want to follow him. Like, has that ever happened to you in your work? Like when you're on the road and you accidentally cut somebody off and know that you did something and they're red-faced and flicking you off or whatever they're doing, do you ever look at them and go, thank you so much. Thank you. No, that rises up something in us, right? Man, we need the grace of God. Teach truth and grace diligently. Parenting is a process. So that means we take time. It means we grab moments and we create milestones. And hear me, this is convicting to me because I'm the parent who likes to like schedule parenting. I'm like, we're going to do it here. My wife's laughing because she knows. I get frustrated. Like, we go on vacation or something like that, and I'm like, all right, we're going to have this thing, and then we're going to do this, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do this, and we're going to schedule this. It's going to be awesome, and the kids are going to go, Daddy, I love you. You're the best dad ever. And what ends up happening is, you rotten kids, I had all this stuff planned. What's the matter with you? And they're going, man, thank you, Dad. I needed to know the grace of God in your life today. Take time, grab moments, and create milestones. And remember, folks, man, your need for a Savior and then pass on humble neediness. Like, here's a scary truth, especially in this area. Have you passed on self-sufficiency or dependency on Christ? Like Mosley, Midlothian, Chesterfield parents, have you passed on a need for a Savior and humble neediness, or have you passed on self-sufficiency? And I know what some of you are thinking, well, we can do both. So did Adam and Eve. So did Adam and Eve. They had every need they could ever want and every pleasure they could ever want, and they still chose sin. So will your kids. Your goal is not to get them to not sin. Your goal is to get them to see Christ. To see Christ. And they will see Christ best if they see him in you. Got to keep rolling. Children, here's the greatest news ever. Kids, stand up for a minute. If you're a kid, stand up. All right, if you're under the age of 18, we'll count you as a kid today. Here's the great news. Look at verse. Let's give it up for them. They're awesome, all right? Let's give it up for them. They're great. All right, so. Children, here's the deal. You know what yours is? You get to do this. Take care that you don't forget. Keep standing. Don't sit down. Keep standing. Take care that you don't forget the Lord and what he's done. Here's how you do it, all right? So everybody say, take care that you don't forget the Lord and what he's done. Do you want to know the best way how you get to do it? You get to ask your parents why. Look, put this up there, if you will. Next. We're not going to read all 10 through 25. You get to ask why. I'll just tell you. You get to ask why. Two things you get to ask. Ask why and ask what does this mean? So when your parents do something, guess what you get to ask them to do? Or guess what you get to ask them? Why and what does it mean? I want you to practice. Let me hear you do it. Say why. What does this mean? Give it up for our kids. They did an awesome job. All right. So verse 20, you say, where is that in the scriptures? I'll show you. All right, verse 20 says this, when your son asks you in time, what is the meaning of the testimonies and the statutes and the rules that the Lord our God has commanded you? Kids, do you know what you get to do with your parents? You do it anyway. You get to ask them why, and you get to ask them, what does this mean? And then when they give you an answer, and hopefully it's one that acknowledges God, what do you do in response to that answer? You acknowledge God, and you submit to Christ. And kids, here's the deal. That starts with mom and dad. You say, but my parents aren't perfect, and neither were theirs. Can I just tell you something? Jesus submitted to his parents, and his parents were sinners who needed saving by the grace of God. So unless you think you're smarter than Jesus, submit to your parents. Acknowledge God and submit to Christ. Now, I know, you're thinking, but, and you've got your list of things. We're just going to keep reading what the Word has to say. Don't test the Lord by testing your parents. Do what's right, okay, and accept the good gifts from God. And so here's what happens. When we do this, most of us, actually all of us, will get it right sometimes and we'll get it wrong sometimes. We succeed and we fail. When you succeed and when you fail, call on the Lord when you fail. And call on the Lord when you succeed. So when you get it right, and you get that grade that you wanted, or you get the affirmation from that coach or that teacher, call on the Lord when you succeed. When you get it wrong, and you have to go into that parent-teacher conference that you didn't want to go into, all right, or now it's virtual or whatever, call on the Lord when you fail and when you succeed. So lastly, and it's as simple as this, and then we'll wrap up. All of us do this one thing. We memorize this verse at the beginning, Hebrews chapter 13, but all of us strengthen each other with the glory and the grace of God. Strengthen each other with the glory and grace of God. Moms and dads are going to get it wrong. Grandparents are going to get it wrong. Grandparents are going to say hateful things to mom and dad, and kids are going to hear it and go, I can't believe grandma or granddad would say that to you. Parents are going to say dumb things to their kids. And when they do, kids are going to recoil at that. And here's what we have to do. We have to strengthen one another with the glory and the grace of God. Why? Because Hebrews 13, 8 and 9 says it this way. And as the team comes, they say it like this. Jesus Christ is the same when? Yesterday, today, and forever. That's why we can call on him, because he's the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so then don't be led astray by strange and diverse teachings, is what verse 9 says, meaning that we don't go to people that we shouldn't go to for advice. We don't go to justify how we feel with other people who got burned just so that we can feel even worse about it, right? But we strengthen our hearts by grace, because it says it's good for the heart to be strengthened by what? Grace. So here's the simple invitation. Moms and dads, have you received the gospel of Jesus Christ? Have you believed on Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? And have you been saved and baptized? You say, what does that have to do with parenting? Everything. Everything. It has everything to do with parenting. Mom and dad, whether you are a parent of your own child or whether or not your following of Jesus impacts other children in your life, have you been saved and baptized? Have you done Deuteronomy 6? Acknowledge the Lord and submitted to him. It begins there. If you haven't, do it now, all right? We're going to sing in just a moment. I would encourage you to come forward, talk to Pastor Joe, one of our other leaders that are up here, myself, Pastor Mike. We would love to lead you into a beginning a relationship with Jesus Christ, moms and dads. Other thing is just a practical takeaway. Here's a practical takeaway. This week, lead your family in prayer every day. You say, I've never done that before. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Just start. God, thank you for the day. Thank you for these people in my life. Amen. So simple. So simple. But you will be shocked at the power of God as you lead your family in humbly submitting to him. So I would encourage you, moms and dads, just pray with your kids. And then take it a step further and read the Bible out loud to them, your voice reading out loud to them. Pick a psalm. Whatever day it is, pick that psalm and read that out loud. And if it's funny or weird, laugh with your family. Talk about, man, this is funny. I mean, talking about like, being like a tree like that doesn't have any more sap. That's funny, all right, when you get to that in the Psalms. Read that out loud. This week, read the book of Ephesians. There's 6 chapters in Ephesians. Read one chapter. Just one chapter. Read it out loud. Just talk about it. It'll take you 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes. That's just a humble ask of our moms and dads. Kids, where's the invitation for you? Have you given your life to Jesus Christ and been baptized? And when I say kids, I mean children, I mean anybody, all right? Any child from 80 all the way down, your mom and dad, you have a mom and dad in the room. I would dare say everyone in the room has a mom and dad, right? What can you do to best honor them? Surrender your life to Jesus Christ and be saved and baptized. Second thing, humbly serve someone in your family this week. Find a way to encourage them. What's it say in verse 13, or Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9? It's good for the heart to be encouraged and strengthened by grace. So encourage someone in your family. Wake up in the morning and go, instead of telling them what I don't like about them, or how they annoy me, or how every time they leave that stuff there, I have to move it, and I've asked them 25 times. I know it happens in my family, all right? We're going to get home today, and I'm going to go, did you not hear the sermon? All right? I mean, that's what's going to happen, all right? And I'll say it like that, and I'll go, doggone, I need grace again, right? I mean, that's, it's real, it's real. Yeah, it's real, dude, it's real. It's good for the heart to be strengthened by grace. So find one way, bless your parent this week. Don't think, what do I need to ask mom and dad for? They already know most of the time. But think, how can I actually encourage mom and dad this week? So we stand. Father, we thank you for your grace and mercy and love. Thank you for the word of God that is sharper than any two-edged sword, able to pierce all the way to joint and marrow. God, and it pierces into my soul. Father, I pray that you'd speak to us, through us. Help us, Father, as we make much of you. God, help us to rightly respond to your word. God, in singing that song earlier, I'm so convicted. God, you are here for us. And Lord, I want my children to know that. I want my grandchildren to know that one day, God. I want my kids' friends to know that. I want lost people to know that. But Lord, I need to remember it. So God, I pray for anyone in this room that hasn't received Christ, they would do so. And God, for the other points of invitation that we've mentioned, God, you do it as we respond in song. In Jesus' name, amen. You come as we sing.